Oh, well, goodness. Okay, because I'd love to have that time to just sort of get my thoughts together and be present. And here we are in celebrating this Easter day. My talk title for today is Roll the Tombstone from Your Heart, an Easter Resurrection. So as we gather together, we are celebrating such a very sacred holiday. And it is a time unlike any other that invites us into an experience of opening and rising higher. An experience of celebrating that consciousness of the Christ, of appreciating the message, the journey, Jesus' ministry, and his lifetime spent here. And it gives us a chance to understand the history, the challenges, and a greater message that Easter brings to us. We appreciate spring, Astari, the celebrations of honoring Mother Earth and nature. And we also appreciate the journey that Jesus made in order to allow us to rise up higher. So I'm going to go over just briefly some history, though last week we covered some of that with Palm Sunday. But as we know, Jesus was about his ministry and he performed miracles. He did the Sermon on the Mount. He talked in parables. He healed people, and he was on a journey to bring about change. So the Jewish nation had operated according to its laws of old, from the Old Testament, the Mosaic understanding, that revolved so much around personal, egoic experience of our earth, our situations, coming only from this outer old law way of being. And at the time, Jesus was a political upstart, though that was not his intention, but he was bringing a new message. And he said, I come not to abolish the law, but to shift the law. To transform the law, to bring about a greater understanding. However, this is a wonderful metaphor for each and every one of us. Me especially, because, you know, when I've been sort of operating, I have all my little traditions and my ducks lined in a row, and I know how to respond to circumstances and situations. And then out of left field comes something new. And I, you know, how many of us run and embrace that with open arms? Well, unless it's a $1,000 check or something, right, you know. But it's just like, wait a minute. That just doesn't feel quite the same, doesn't feel... And sometimes, because it challenges old ideas and beliefs, it brings about a great sense of concern or fear. And what do? We put up our hand. We say, stop. So these are the circumstances that we can understand around Jesus walking in this planet, bringing such an absolutely new consciousness and a new idea that the living presence of God was within each and every person. And it wasn't something that you went to a priest in order to connect to God. It was a direct connection. Well, that would kind of freak out the priests who were in control, you know. And they weren't really happy with this whole situation. That's putting it mildly. But think about how difficult it is for each of us to kind of move beyond some of those old ingrained beliefs, you know. It's not really easy to do that all the time. And so the circumstances that arose were the people wanted to place Jesus on a pedestal and call him king, because as I talked about last week, they were looking for the Messiah, the anointed one. They were looking for someone who would bring about a change in their lives, because their lives were difficult and challenging. And they wanted a good king, someone who would take care of them. And Jesus said, no, beloved friends. We are all one. In his humble ride into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, he rode in on the donkey to symbolize, I am not a king, I bring a message. I am a teacher. And then to invite us into this consciousness that we call that Christ consciousness, that higher awareness of a living presence that operates in our entire universe, that is the basis of all creation, that is the living truth within us, the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that which we call Christ consciousness or the presence of God within. Well, it was very challenging to the Jewish judicial branch, the Sanhedrin, and they wanted to get rid of this upstart, because that's what you did back in that day and time, and so they wanted him crucified. And yet Rome was in charge politically, and Rome was the only one that could actually call for a crucifixion. And so they took Jesus, and Pontius Pilate said, well, no, I don't see that he's done anything wrong. Pushed it back to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin said, well, no, you're the one that has to order it. And Pontius Pilate washed his hands and said, it's not on me. Yet the people called for the crucifixion of Christ. How many times do we do that in our lives? We you know, some new idea, some big thing comes up, and we want to say, get thee gone. So this is the metaphor of the part of the experience that Christ walked through. And he knew ahead that this was his journey, that it was his demonstration to show that there was something greater than the fear of old consciousness, laws and rules and ideas, of that rigidity. He came to walk a path that would invite us into a greater awareness, to know that we can transcend those old beliefs, those old angers, those old fears and resentments. And so as it progressed, as we all know, Jesus was crucified on the cross. And during that time, can you imagine what that would have felt like? To have been betrayed by people that he loved, that were a part of his disciples. To have been challenged in the Garden of Gethsemane to say, God, take this from me, and yet knowing it was his journey. Have we not all felt that at times with challenges in our lives? And yet, staying in the presence, staying in prayer all night long, he breathed into his path, and he knew that the presence of God would be with him regardless of any circumstance. And so he was on the cross, and in the process of dying, he had a few statements that he made. And yet one of the things that he so deeply realized is that in order for him to fulfill his mission and what he was teaching about in transitioning, in transforming, in resurrecting, he knew that he could not keep with him in the heart of his being any sense of anger or hurt or fear or resentment. And so from Luke in scripture on Luke 23 verse 34, one of the last few words that Jesus said on the cross, he said, and Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. He went into the heart of his being. And from that innermost place, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, if we are to be about rolling the tombstone away from our hearts, it is a process of entering into releasing and letting go unto the presence of God, unto that higher Christ consciousness. It's a willingness to let go of anger and hurt and resentment for situations in our families, in the workplace, in our world, with circumstances. Sharon Rainey, who is an author, she wrote a book, and in that she was exploring her life challenges with Lyme disease. And here's what she says. She said, God presented me with a choice. I could accept his offerings, his wisdom, his grace, or I could choose to hold on to the pain, the anger, and the resentment a little longer. How many of you have ever taken like a hot potato that's wrapped in foil or something out of the oven and it's like hot and you're kind of jumping it around? Yeah. And yet, you know, do we put it down? Carrying around anger and resentment in any situation is like carrying around a hot potato. Then we put it down, then don't we pick it back up? Was it cooled off yet? Right? And we put it down because it's still hot. It burns our hands. See, that's what anger and fear and resentment do. They hold us captive to that old consciousness of the personal egoic self that is represented by the Sanhedrin metaphorically. But when we are willing to begin to explore and allow the presence of God to move in us to bring about healing, then we open ourselves to a whole new experience. Another author, Isabel Lopez, oh, you can go back to that other slide, Mona, because there was a second person. Isabel Lopez, she says from her book, I eventually came to understand that in harboring the anger, the bitterness, and resentment towards those that had hurt me, I was giving the reins of control over to them. Forgiving was not about accepting their words and deeds. Forgiving was about letting go and moving on with my life. In doing so, I had finally set myself free. So friends, forgiveness is something that is challenging at many levels. And we sometimes misunderstand that forgiving doesn't say it makes right an action or a circumstance or something that happened. However, when we hang on to our perception of that, our anger about what happened, our hurt, our resentment, when we hang on to those things, as Isabel says here, it's like a poison in our system. It is not up to us to change or shift or do something else about anyone else but ourselves. And so what Jesus was inviting us into an awareness of in this process of, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. One of his last messages and lessons to us on the cross as he was dying was to let go and to release. And to trust that in that process, there is a higher presence and a power that will come in to heal us that goes beyond what we can understand at the human level. I mean, when someone has hurt my feelings, man, you know, I can forgive them for all of about 30 seconds. Then I pick that hot potato back up again. It's still burning my hands. And I breathe and I let go. And then I pick that back up again. And I can do that sometimes on certain, there's still people I was just noticing yesterday when I was out in my walk. Man, and I'm talking about this stuff, so it brings up my own stuff. And I was, that, you know, the yammy yamma voice is going, why did they do that? And how come? And oh my gosh, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I went, boy. In that final demonstration, the invitation to us to let go of all those things that distract us from our wholeness and from our connection to God means allowing that living presence of grace that is so far beyond anything we can imagine, that's in the living and loving heart of God, to move in and through us and to accomplish that healing. Jesus' final words on the cross from Luke 22, verse 46a. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, friends, this is one of the amazing messages of Easter, is that in our process to rise up, in our process to be resurrected as spiritual humanity, we have an opportunity through this message to recognize, as we let go into the living presence of God, that grace and that unconditional love heals us in ways we can't even begin to imagine. Yet it requires that process of surrender and of letting go. And again, it's not about making right or saying it was okay for a certain circumstance or what someone did. It is simply recognizing we no longer carry that burden upon our own shoulders. We allow God's light to move through us as Jesus did as he died upon the cross in that recognition, unto thee I commit my spirit. And so we take a look then at what happened according to prophecy. Jesus was to rise from the dead. And he spent 3 days in the tomb, and I will share a reading from Matthew 28, 1 through 2 and 5 through 6. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, which was 3 days later, Mary Magdalene and other Marys went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." So friends, when we take a look at the metaphysical metaphor of the time that Jesus spent in the tomb. See, the process of forgiveness is one that's ongoing. The process of being in the tomb represents a time spent apart for healing. Like hibernation in the winter. It is our own willingness to take the time to do our spiritual consciousness work, to practice it, to be in the stillness, to commune with God. And from Scripture, Matthew 18:22, Peter was talking to Jesus about forgiveness because the old Sanhedrin, again, that represents our personal egoic self, the old law says you forgive three times. And so he's asking Jesus about forgiveness. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. 70 times 7, friends. What this truly represents is a metaphysical number or amount. It isn't any given time. He was explaining to Peter that forgiveness is an ongoing process. And it starts within the core of ourselves. Because a forgiveness needs to start within our own heart to our own being. It requires that we surrender into God. Because remember going back to scripture, it said, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. An angel, that living presence of God, is the grace that moves through our hearts when we're open and receptive and allows that tombstone that sits on our hearts when we hang on to anger and resentment and guilt, it allows that to be rolled away, releasing hurt, anger, and resentment. We roll the tombstone from our hearts, friends. When we are willing to release that, we roll that tombstone from our heart over and over again. Charles Fillmore, in his book, Keep a True Lent, says, Eastertide, the resurrection of the mind from the darkness of its doubts and false beliefs into the light of understanding. Resurrection is accomplished by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, by the activity of the living God within us. Every time we rise to the realization of eternal indwelling life, making union with Father Mind, The resurrection of Jesus takes place within us. It is the raising up of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, into the Christ consciousness of life and wholeness. And he goes on to explain that the word crucifixion means the crossing out in consciousness of certain errors that have become fixed states of mind. So friends, as we embrace this Easter time, as we celebrate this message and awareness that Christ walked, Jesus as a man walked our planet, our earth, and brought in his ministry a message that invited us into a freedom of spirit, into rising into a consciousness that we call the Christ consciousness, that is inherent in each one of us, that is the mind of God that we have in us. And we're invited to recognize that what it takes is the willingness to release and to let go of any resentment or anger or fear, and to take the time apart in the tomb to walk through the darkness into the light by choosing to commit our spirit into the wholeness that is the presence of God. From 2 Corinthians 5:17, in scripture it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." And from Isaiah 61, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Friends, this Easter we are invited to rise up into that consciousness, to take the time to surrender unto God, unto grace, the challenges, the doubts, the fears, old belief systems, in order to rise anew, in order to be resurrected and to be transformed. Deepak Chopra says, "The symbolic language of the crucifixion is the death of the old paradigm. Resurrection is a leap into a whole new way of thinking." And Charles Crow, who was a preacher and an author, goes on to say, "Easter is the demonstration of God that life is essentially spiritual and timeless." So friends, as we celebrate Easter today, I invite you to take into the heart of your being this consciousness that as we release and let go our angers, our hurts, our doubts, our resentments, that we open ourselves to the grace and the flow of divine pure being. We allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, to heal us and bless us. And here at Unity, we have a special service where we experience what we call our flowering cross. And we'll be moving this down here shortly, and I will be inviting you each in just a moment to step into the center aisle, come forward, and to take a carnation from the cross, and then return to your seats. And what I invite you to do is to take a moment before you do so to think of one situation, maybe one turmoil, one place where you have felt hurt, one instance that you would like to heal in this moment, so that you know that as you come forward, symbolically taking a flower from this cross, you are crossing out old limited ideas. And you are partaking of the Christ, of that higher consciousness that will be with you in your own resurrection as you release that one situation for right now and embrace rising up into seeing differently. So I'll ask the ushers to come forward and help me move the cross. Okay, and as you are ready, I will invite you, as you release that situation into the Holy Spirit, come forward and claim and affirm your higher Christ, resurrected self in this moment.